Hello and welcome to EWTN Live, and I'm Doug Keck, filling in for the one and only Father Mitch Pacwa. He couldn't make it, unfortunately, and unfortunately his regular backup, my great friend Father Joseph Mary Wolf, also couldn't make it, so you're kind of stuck with me tonight, so I understand. But don't leave just because I'm hosting, because we've got some great guests. We've got Rob and Lisa Wall from EWTN's The Roman Catholic, which is a production that's been on for many years here at EWTN. I think it is its eighth season, and this is its final season. So we wanted to make sure we had an opportunity to thank them for all the great work for effective programming focused on young children. And it's always great to have you, Rob.
Thank you.
And
thank you
Lisa
so much.
As well on EWTN Live. So let me ask you, you know, children's programming, what wasn't the first thing you came here exactly with? You came here in a general idea from kids programming, but we started with other stuff, didn't we?
Yes, you did. I was just asking today, Peter. I was asking Peter Gangham.
Peter Gangham, right.
How did I contact someone here? Because this was, you know, today we obviously assume everything is just Googled or
right.
Your phone, or you just ask your phone and it tells
who's
you.
In charge of this or
right.
Who's there.
When, and go so look how do you, lunch. And he went back in the files, dug in, and there was a letter that I wrote to him and to you
right.
Saying, what kind of children's programming do you have? What kind of
right.
programming do you have? And so,
were you familiar with EWTN at all at the time?
No, we didn't.
I think we had just discovered.
We just found out, like, yeah. Wait a minute, there's a Catholic. So this
network,
was back
right.
in the late 90s.
Right. Well, EWTN's always been the best kept secret in the church.
Yeah,
it is.
And so we realized, wait, there's a kids component to this that
right.
I think they look like they're starting up.
Yeah, the Faith Factory is kind of what we first did. And
you were crazy enough to say,
right.
Okay, we'll bring you down. So I flew down to Birmingham, and I will never forget being picked up at the airport at night,
mm-hmm.
being driven to a random house.
That's right.
In a neighborhood. And I'm like, thank you. Where am I?
No.
Where's the studio? Where's Doug Keck? Where's Peter Gagnon? And here it's adjacent to the EWTN campus.
Right, and absolutely.
It was that was just the start of, like, what kind of just interesting right. new programming for kids, just
mm-hmm.
like little snippets of faith, teachings of faith,
right.
and I think it was called CD-ROM.
Right.
Because CDs were still...
Yeah, some hackneyed guy came up with the idea that CD-ROM was popular, so if you stick an E on it and call it CD-ROM.
The kids loved it.
By the time we finished with that, nobody knew what a CD-ROM was anyway.
Yeah. No. So we ditched that. And just
I think we have some clips from some of those. I don't know if we can show a SOT, you know, a clip with some audio. I don't know if we're ready for that. Okay, here's something. I think that there it is.
Oh, my. I bet that you have heard of the Pope.
Who's the guy with hair?
You've probably
your younger
seen
brother.
The Pope on television. And maybe you have some books written by the Pope, and they talk about the Pope during Mass. The Pope is very, very important to Catholicism. But do you know why the Pope is the Pope and where popes came from? Well, let's understand a little bit more and ask CD-ROM.
The Pope is the Bishop of Rome, the successor of Peter, Jesus' apostle. The office of the Pope began with Peter and is now recognized as the leader of the entire Catholic Church. The Pope is the source of unity and power for the Church, and whatever he says or declares must be followed. The Pope gets a lot of help from many experienced priests, such as cardinals, archbishops, and bishops.
So that's why the Pope is so important, because Jesus said Peter would be the first leader of our church. Peter is the rock that the church is built upon, and Peter became the first pope. And so every leader of our church after Peter has been the Pope. And we only have one leader. And what the Pope says and does is really important to us, and we believe it and we follow it. So that's why the Pope is so important.
Wow.
Hell no. We just talk about it, and there it is.
Oh, wow. Now,
this is your life, Rob Wall.
I look at that dude on there, and I'm like, come on, smile more. Okay. Quit pointing so much.
See, that's why anybody
Where'd you get
does
that purple shirt?
Never watches themselves.
Come
because
on.
Because you sit there and...
What, the glasses? Well, get some stylish glasses there, fella.
Did you... My wife would always tell me when we were watching EWTN, will you stop criticizing or critiquing everything that's on?
Yes.
This
yeah.
is supposed to be this one. Mm-hmm. And so what is it like sitting there watching when he's on?
It's a lot of fun mm-hmm. to watch just because he's so witty and just, you know, has his own unique take on things, that stuff that you don't expect will come out. And he's very knowledgeable about the faith. So right. it's just fun to watch.
When you wanted to focus on children, I mean, one of the things we found was the idea that you really got to hit them when they're young. You really got to inculcate the faith in before they're 10 years old. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Maybe it's even younger now, and kind of reach children that way. Because, you know, they get into the teens, especially in the world we have now, it's even younger. Obviously, you would know
Absolutely.
Better than me with that as far as technology reaching mm-hmm. into them. What is the audience that you saw in your mind, Rob, when you were doing this show?
I was thinking children. You know, we have six children. Mm-hmm. And they range from, there's a 20-year spread between our oldest to our youngest. And we've always had little kids in our life. Mm-hmm. So we always have that kind of like innocent, fun, just accepting of life around mm-hmm. you. But we've also
it's
had-
It's called chaos usually.
It is.
That's a good name for it.
And that chance to just like look at the world in a fresh, innocent way. Mm-hmm. You know, like it says in scripture, to look at it through the eye of a child. Mm-hmm. But also having teenagers and adult children as well, we have I think we can get a sense of the range of perspectives. Mm-hmm. And I work in a high school too. I mean, I don't do this full time.
Right.
If that might be a surprise to you, but I work in a high school. And I absolutely love it. Mm-hmm. And kids are comfortable asking me questions about, I mean, I don't teach theology, but I tell them I know a lot about it. So they'll ask me a question. Mm-hmm. And sometimes surprises me with like how much of a misperception something they have, or how basic and rudimentary the question is. And that leads me to believe that, well, maybe when they're young, 9, 10, 11, 12, that's when they need that you know, that affirmation of
right.
here's the simplistic the teaching of the faith, and here's...
And a certain amount of repetition.
Yeah, a repetition.
To be able to have that. The much maligned memorization.
Yeah, because we just kind of assume they go to Mass, so they must be taking it all in.
Soaking it in, right.
But,
and just adding that little bit of, you know, slapstick, and
right.
then with Pete the Penguin when...
Yeah,
in the freezer, just something that appeals to kids.
Yes.
Yeah, that reminds me. I was walking through your set before, and this little guy in a tuxedo asked me to come over to his freezer.
Well,
he was a little disturbed that he wasn't quite getting the accolades that he deserves on the program, and the amount of writing he actually does in the background.
There's some professional jealousy
I picked up on that.
Talent and looks and just overall professionalism. Mm-hmm. I mean, he comes from the Antarctic.
The Arctic, which one is it?
I don't remember where he's from.
I think he's from a freezer.
That's right. Uh-huh.
He's in the frozen food section.
So he's always been jealous of me. So it doesn't surprise me that he was like cutting me down when I wasn't there.
Right.
But I've gone to some of the family celebrations
right.
in the past. Do they still do
Yes,
those?
We do. We have another one coming up actually in this fall that's happening in Virginia. People can check out
great.
Our EWTN website and find out about that. It's basically in Arlington, Virginia, so
nice.
That should be exciting.
So I've gone to a few of those with Pete. Mm-hmm. The refrigerator goes with us.
Right.
And the kid's like, oh, hi, Rob. It's Pete! You know, got to get used to that. I don't tell them I shouldn't even say it, that he's a puppet. He's, I don't know if our viewers know that.
Yeah,
but
I think we see you interacting there with
yes.
Pete
from
the show. I was interested also with that. I don't know if you got it quick as well. Another simple spot that we did back was something called Building Blocks of Faith,
yes.
which we originally did with you.
You have one of those as well?
I think we got one. If we can show that, that'd be great. If not, let me know, and then I'll move on. But, because that was one of the early spots we did. Here it is.
Do you know that everyone in heaven is a saint? And do you also know that there are some people that the church has recognized as saints? Saints like St. Peter, St. Joseph, the Blessed Mother. And do you also know that different saints are patron saints? Now, a patron saint means that the person has a special connection to different people. For example, if you're named after a saint, then that person is your patron saint. My name is Rob, or Robert. So my patron saint is Saint Robert of Bellarmine. Patron saints are also chosen as special protectors or guardians over areas of life. Now here are a few examples, right here beside me. The patron saint of athletes is Saint Sebastian. Of firefighters, it's Saint Florian. Of students, it's Saint Thomas Aquinas. And the patron saint of the youth is Saint Aloysius Gonzaga. So check it out. Check what other patron saints there are, and maybe there's a patron saint for you.
There you go.
See, now he picked up the pace. He's a little more excited.
That's right.
I'm speaking to myself in third person here, but you know, he was. As I did this more, I realized it's just some more animated I was.
Right. And after this, we ended up with something that was called the Roman Catholic.
Yes.
But they were spots originally.
It was
Where in the world is Carmen San Diego, Catholic thing going on?
I had a suitcase and a camera and this shirt.
Right.
Or maybe not this exact one, but.
Right.
And
now, what was your idea behind that?
That was just like, let's go all of it because, you know, Catholic, universal. Mm-hmm. That's the root of the word. Mm-hmm. And no matter where you go in the world, the Catholic Church is the same. Mm-hmm. It may sound different language, but we were able to get our family involved in this, you know, because the spots became a series.
Right, and how did you move it from that? Who were you working with here at the time when you moved into doing that proposal and moving from the idea of just doing the spots to saying, let's do a series of actually children's programs?
I think that was a vision of the production team here. Mm-hmm. You know, these are going well. These
Peter,
spots,
Steve Beaumont, those
yes,
guys, right?
And Mike Masney.
Mike Masney was the other person.
And how we can just move forward, because you're always doing that here. Mm-hmm. How can you take something that's working well and expand upon it?
Right.
Not just be satisfied with it, but expand upon it and make it and develop it. And that's what they did. They said, this is fun. It has a lot of potential.
Right.
And then it turned into a show where I live in a house in my city. I have a penguin on my freezer. Who doesn't? Mm-hmm. I'm sure you have a similar thing in your
freezer.
Mine's
on my telly.
Okay. And then we travel the world. Again, it's green screen.
But
Because EWTN has this wealth of pictures and video from showing all over the world.
Right.
Catholicism in all its facets. So they used that, and we brought it together with what can we teach about, and then combine in a saint, and then the family comes in. And
right. What was your thought when the first time when Rob said, well, our daughter, I could use her, and then after that you moved into, well, what about you being on the show?
Yeah, I thought it was exciting. I mean, my background is in television, so I worked at local TV stations in Columbus for a while, and so I had moved on from that.
Is that where you guys met, or what?
No, we actually met in college.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and I studied radio television, and we did a comedy show together on the local cable station, and that's really how we started to get to know each other. And we walked to Mass with a group of friends.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
We're engaged by the time we were seniors.
Right. Yeah, because Columbus was Cube. Yeah. It was in Columbus.
Cube?
Yeah, famous, it was the first interactive attempt on cable that didn't work, but it was called Cube right at the time. I've been in cable since 1976, so
and,
I
you know,
can remember that.
One thing I have to mention before I forget, two things, but the first one is, I can't give enough credit to the production team here. We come down here and we do this stuff and we do it out of order or in order, and then they stop to go to the next scene, then they go to green screen, then they go back to this and they get the cameras and all the cameras at once, and we just come down and do it, you know? And then they work on it, and the level of the quality of production is just incredible.
Right.
The special effects, the editing, the sound, all the sound effects.
We get some great graphics people working.
The graphics are just amazing because we can do something here and, you know, we don't even think about it when we go home.
Right.
And then we see it.
Right.
And there's the movement, the special effects, there's one episode in particular, one of my favorites. It was from season 7. Mm-hmm. It was called The Attic. And I just really enjoyed that. That was about the teaching of the Pope again, and why the Pope is important and the Pope's role in the Catholic Church and mm-hmm. the world. And it was based on, we just found this thing, this tool, mm-hmm. and it's gonna help us find a treasure. And we go out and we talk to the bait shop owner, and then we end up finding out that this tool is a carpet stretcher. Mm-hmm. Nothing exciting, really. Mm-hmm. But if we have been depending upon someone to tell us the truth from the beginning, there wouldn't have been all this confusion. You know, and the graphics in that mm-hmm. are just wonderful. It makes it so full, so visually full, that it's very entertaining. Right.
Well, what's exciting too, I think the thing that you pointed out, but before we go that, why don't we take a look at that attic clip? Since our crack team is all over it.
All right.
So we're gonna take a look at that. Crack team wasn't quite cracked.
Well, it was in there.
It was a clip that kind of showed it there.
Yeah, so that was the intro to season 7.
No, you laid it out well enough.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
We had the idea there.
And it's funny, it seems, as I look at that, it's like the older I get and the less hair I have, the weirder I'm acting. So I don't know if it's some
making
kind of
up indirect. For
yeah, making up for what, yes, mm-hmm, so act a little stranger.
You got the hand jive going there.
Yeah, I do.
There. Yeah, jazz hands.
Uh-huh.
One of the things I thought you pointed out about how we slowly improve things is an incremental thing that I learned as well from working with Mother Angelica in the early days, and the idea that, you know, people see the big steps she took, but so much of what she did was a lamp unto my feet, incremental, mm-hmm. moving yeah. slowly forward, because obviously we're relying on God's providence and you can't get out in front of God. And, you know, the reality is, whether people realize it as much, television can be expensive. In some ways it can be cheaper now, because everybody's doing little podcasts little cameras. It doesn't cost a lot. Of course, most people are talking to themselves and nobody's watching it.
It's not interesting.
But with that being the case, for us to slowly, we had to always try to build on success and say, what could we do a little bit different that doesn't cost that much more money than we were doing before? And one of the keys to the shows we've had recently, like Saints and Scoundrels and Chesterton Station, and some of the other programs that are scripted, James Les, is finding people who can write those kind of scripts. And we have some guys in-house now, but one of the benefits of meeting you was you were somebody who could go and create these scripts and these concepts and bring them to us, and then we could make them come alive.
Yeah, I'm glad you said that, because we take great joy in writing scripts.
It's a lot of fun.
And we're very different. When in real life.
So how are you different?
I act like a fool sometimes. Mm-hmm. If we're in public, I'm the one that's just like doing like, stop, don't act like that. I embarrass my children, things
yes.
like that.
That's right.
And she's quiet, she'd rather just listen. But when we're writing scripts, I write more like conversational dialogue and like interesting, and she's slapstick all over the place.
Oh really, okay.
And she, you know.
So you're a verbal comedian and you're more slapstick,
yeah.
or would
yeah.
you say?
It's like when you're doing these scripts, it's like that.
I would
that,
say,
you know?
Yeah, I could just kind of like visualize it more. And so I'm kind of like writing, I see the joke and mm-hmm. then kind of writing that into mm-hmm. the script more.
But we both are always trying right. in whatever way we can to practice our faith, not just go to Mass and then go mm-hmm. home. She uses a lot of apps and listens to a lot of podcasts mm-hmm. and a lot of, you know, the current Catholic speakers. And,
right, sure.
And I study a lot of apologetics.
Well, all you have to do is go to EW10.com and
yes. there it is.
Go to our
yes.
So on-demand platform,
we're always,
or go to our Podcast Central.
Yeah,
they're all there.
Absolutely.
I'm sure that's where you're getting all that.
Yes, I am.
I was figuring when you were going to pick up
good
on
plug.
That.
Good plug. But we have to be able to constantly be refreshing that information.
Right.
So then we're confident that we can write a script that has that basic foundation.
Right, exactly.
Yeah. And then we send it off to your team.
Right.
They run it through theology, make sure we're on track.
Yeah, Colin and his team.
Right? Yeah, and make sure that we're...
Yeah, because people, it's a trust we have with our audience. And people expect us to be consistent with the teachings, of course, of the Catholic faith. You know, not everything we ever do is a success far and beyond. And even sometimes Rob hasn't always been successful. You know, back in the day, Rob actually did a vocation spot with a very young Father Mark.
Let's take a look at this.
Are you a boy who has heard that calling of Jesus in your heart? Are you? Have you felt especially close to Jesus at Mass and you thought, I think God wants a little bit more out of me than just coming to church? I think it's time to get some help on this subject. Let's go see a friend. Hey, look over there. It's a priest. Hey, Father. Hi, Father.
Hi, Rob.
Hi.
How are you on this fine day?
Oh, I'm fine.
I've got something to show you. Think you can keep up with me?
Oh, come on. Are you kidding? I'm a great runner. Speed, that's my middle name. Well, I'll tell you something. When I was a... Wait.
Okay, here we are, Rob. Take a breather.
I can't run anymore. My side hurts.
Well, this is a monastery. Some people become monks or friars like me, and we live in a monastery or a friary. Come on, let's go.
Well, that wasn't an official breather.
Where is Rob? He said he liked running.
I love running so much. Run. That's my favorite thing to do. All right.
Are you okay?
Yeah, I'm fine.
Well, you know, girls can have a special calling from God to serve Him. In a religious order, they're called nuns.
Wow. Now, that's amazing. Father, let me ask something else.
Sorry, Rob. I have to get going. You should talk about the vocation of marriage next. See you later.
Okay. Well, thanks for your help. Just, give me a minute. I think I need to get some water. That's what I need. I'm parched and my side hurts.
Yeah, unfortunately, vocations went down dramatically for the
I'm
friars
so sorry.
Right after that thing. But you know, they have subsequently picked up.
I've seen Father Mark here at our stay here. He doesn't move that fast now.
Yeah. He doesn't talk to you anymore.
No, he doesn't. Yeah, he goes the other way.
That's right. He was also a bicyclist. He was big on bike riding for a long time. But he's had some trouble with his knees and stuff.
It's so interesting coming back every... We come back here for every maybe 2 or 3 years, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And just seeing all the people that are still here. Mm-hmm. There are so many people that are still here from the days when this first started up.
Right, right.
You know, and that have stories of Mother Angelica and working with her, and
Jody Copeland, who was
obviously
who's been here since 1981.
And there are just that dedication to the network is, we love being a part of that. You know,
right? I think what's exciting is that we've got a great mix of the old timers and the people who have been dedicated to the mission all along, so they have that sense of history, and married in with a lot of good Catholic, specifically, you know, motivated people with talent who, I think hopefully, in some ways it was kind of build it and they will come, to show people there was an outlet for their talents in a Catholic field.
Mm-hmm.
And as you were talking about and working in media and stuff like that, and you work in television, do these things, you know, it's kind of like, this is okay, but you know, I worked in sports, I worked in some other things, but you're not reaching people the way the ability to do this. I said the other day, it's great to love your work and have people love your work as well. You know what I mean? So many people have their, and you don't know who that is.
Right.
The number of people who saw something and
that's right.
That we heard mothers say or whatever, and it changed their lives.
Yeah. We remind ourselves and our family and our kids about that because, you know, we come down here And then we go home and live our life. And we are part of a parish, we're part of church organizations, mm-hmm. we lector, kids go to Catholic schools, all that, you know. Mm-hmm. But this is separate from our life. And we have to remind ourselves and our children, like, this is a great ministry to be a part of.
Right.
Even though we do it and then we go home, and we don't all sit around and watch the Roman Catholic every night, it is happening, it's occurring. People watch it, children mm-hmm. watch it, adults watch it.
Right.
And it is making a difference in people's lives, and it's helping them understand their faith.
Have you seen that with your children and other children?
Yeah, For a while I was working part-time at the school that our kids went to, Our Lady of Perpetual Help, mm-hmm. and I was an aide there, and some of the student or the teachers in third grade were using the Roman Catholic you know, during class or when they had extra time, and the kids just really, really enjoyed it. And honestly, Rob, working at Bishop Reedy High School, when the teens find out that he's doing this show,
it's hilarious.
Look it up. Mm-hmm. And they're just, you know, so it's a great opportunity. Like, at first they think it's funny, but then they're just like, wow, that's really cool. And our kids are proud of it. Mm-hmm. So you'd think, like, teen years, they'd be embarrassed by it, but, you know, they're mm-hmm. pretty excited to be a part of it. And it's really fun just to watch the reaction from people, because it's not, like you said, it's like the well-kept secret mm-hmm. of EW10. Even though it's very, very popular, there's still people that don't know about it. Right. So once they hear the story of Mother Angelica, and then, and since you've started streaming, I think that was a couple years ago, so the on-demand stuff.
Right, exactly.
And people have that access right there, because that was something that the schools couldn't do before, but now they can just,
Well, we had that horrible COVID thing.
Yes.
But
yes.
God made something good come out of that.
Yeah.
Which is that a lot of people started watching Mass on television. Yeah. And they say that people have gone back to church, and more people discovered us and kind of Catholic product like
I've
this and realized it's available mm-hmm. to them.
Yeah.
You know, so exactly, you know, some good always comes out of even these terrible situations, and that's the thing, and you never know who you're going to reach. Mother always said that our job was to soak the earth with the truth. It's Holy Spirit's job to convert people, mm-hmm. and we want it to be out there. And I know Father Benedict Rochelle used to say that, you know, you're never going to know how many people impacted, mm-hmm. well, lives that were impacted by what happened at EWTN and the Mother keeping the faith mm-hmm. alive, etc., and the devotions especially to the Eucharist. It's interesting now, you look at how much is focused on the Eucharist again. Well, you know, she was fighting for that in the 90s, you know, to keep that ever-present and Eucharistic adoration and things mm-hmm. like that.
Well, that reminds me of, you say people dedicated to the station and watch. Mm-hmm. I do want to give a little shout-out to a couple people. I know that they're watching. Will. Hello, Will. Hello, Roseanne. Hello, my mother, Judy. So I just want to say, I just got to get that, because if they would see me later and say, why didn't you say hi to me? Well, I got that off the list. I just wanted
That's fine. That's great. That's as Mother said, this is her network, and we can do what we want to do. We're not on FCC regulations.
Right.
We're not supposed to be calling out things to your personal friends and neighbors. But yeah, exactly. And well, because it's all family. EWTN was always all family, and that's way Mother always mm-hmm. wanted it to be. One of the things I was wondering, when you're kind of ending up your final season here in 40-something episodes, mm-hmm. I don't know, at 48 or something around those numbers, you know, technology has changed. The rapidity in which people take in, it's actually 43 shows over 8 seasons, but the idea of, you know, your format is a little longer format, we did some shorter formats. You know, what do you see in the future going forward, you know, with the idea of trying to reach younger kids, mm-hmm. You know, in using the platforms and the technologies? That's what we're trying to do, certainly, mm-hmm. with EWTN Plus and EWTN Next or Now, whatever we want to say it is. You know, we have some of it out there, but more of it rolling out, and trying to make sure that we're on every platform that anyone consumes information on. I remember in the early days when sometimes people would give Mother a hard time and say, well, why are you on that cable? They have those terrible channels like the Playboy Channel, which Doug Keck even worked on at one time in his life. You know, why would you do this? She said, we have to be there. Mm-hmm. We have to be there to counter those messages. And we have to make sure that we spend our time on the things you can't get anywhere else. You know, if other people are doing it, we don't need to do it. We need to do what other people aren't doing. And we also need to do what people need to get, not what they necessarily want to get. That's a long way saying, what's your take on where things are going?
I think that, you know, so much of what people view and get their news from and get their entertainment from is on their device, on a smartphone. And unfortunately, it's that short form, like a TikTok, Instagram, those short form videos, you know, nothing is in long, people don't watch long shows anymore, unless it's a streaming service where they can pick and choose when they want to watch it. And so what people are fooled into believing, though, is that they're content creators. Everybody thinks they're a content creator just because you can take a selfie. Just because you can make a video of yourself. Here I am. Look at me. I'm in front of the Eiffel Tower. Hey, everybody. We think that we're content creators. So to have an organization like this that knows how to create content, you have writers and producers and editors, and to move that into the short form.
Right.
You know, and to take those talents, because I really think everyone thinks that, well, I can edit, I can write, I can produce, I can shoot. I can make the sound, but it ends up all sounding the same and looking the same.
Right, absolutely.
So you take these professionals that you have here, especially at a place like this, and move that into short form streaming. That's going to ensure the future of this kind of evangelization.
Right. Well, Andy Warhol said everybody famous for 10 minutes. With that being the case, we'll be back in a couple of minutes with more from Rob and Lisa Wall, Roman Catholics. Stay with us. Welcome back to EWTN Live, the Roman Catholic, and that's Rob Wall and his wife Lisa Wall. Of course, the entire family is part of the program, and of course, you can watch EWTN's The Roman Catholic anytime on our on-demand platform, EWTN.com, ondemand.EWTN.com, and of course, look for, as we ever expanding that with what's called EWTN Plus, dynamite new format, platforms coming. It's going to make it that much easier for you to access all of this wonderful programming and a lot of new programs as well. So it's very, very exciting. To go back to what you were saying, Rob, too, it's kind of interesting in the media you're dealing with now. Right now, the most watched channel basically is YouTube. That's getting the highest ratings. And what's interesting is you've got on one level these really short-form projects, which everybody's kind of aware of. But then you've got the Joe Rogans and these other long-form interview programs, Trigonometry out of the UK and others, that have actually become incredibly popular. But it's interesting because each host is ultimately like creating their own network now.
Yes, it is.
You know, so the host and the talent really is a very important part of attracting viewers and people right now because they have a choice, as you said.
You're right, and I think that that's what makes like our show has always been unique. It's like we are different than just to sit behind a desk and do an interview. There's nothing wrong with this. It's wonderful.
I've been doing it my whole life.
No, but and when I found out you weren't Father Mitch, I was a little disappointed about that. But that's okay. You
were actually the third choice,
right?
That's right.
But there's something something exciting and interesting and entertaining about somebody who's different. You know, who you can get across the content in a different way. And if you have that person confident in themselves, you can get over the fact that I'm skinny, I don't have a lot of hair. then you can plow forward with just that content and getting right. across your idea
right.
with joy and with entertainment. And Joe Rogan, you know, he's just a guy.
Right.
But he does it in a way that people apparently find appealing.
Well, in some ways, I think it kind of deals with the world we're living in, the Trumpian world, another world where I think people are looking for more common sense, regardless of what you think of any particular person. And sometimes a lot of these things are just people asking common sense questions uh-huh. where before people couldn't ask them because they were afraid that if they said that, they'd be accused of being mm-hmm. racist
something
or bigoted or something, yeah. you know. And so you don't have, people just want the truth. I think that's a reason I would say, Lisa, like we'd like to believe people watch EWTN and will watch a show like this because they're attracted by the truth. And mm-hmm. that's what people are looking for. Young people are looking for transparency. Yeah. What they're really looking for is what can I count on? Mm-hmm. What's really true? There is actually a truth. It's not totally subjective.
Yeah. And absolutely, that's, you know, kind of what you mentioned before about trusting in God and Mother Angelica. Like, her whole plan was really trusting in his providence
right.
and evangelizing and telling the truth. And with that, like, there's so many visionaries that have worked at EWTN, still work there. Mm-hmm. Michael Masney, the producer of the Roman Catholic, I mean, he's the one who came up with the idea of Pete. And at first you're like, okay, a penguin and in a freezer, mm-hmm. what does that have anything to do with being Catholic?
Right.
But that's just like Rob was saying, a unique way to present the faith, something that you're not right. expecting. Mm-hmm. That's kind of how Mother always was. She used common sense, and
right.
she said things that you would not expect a nun to say.
Right.
But she was telling the truth, mm-hmm. you know, and she wasn't afraid to tell that truth.
And she was real about it.
Yes.
With her
yeah.
own foibles.
Yeah.
And dealing with other mm-hmm. people's foibles mm-hmm. and having sympathy for that because she had that herself in
right.
her own life. But yeah, I mean, I think that that's the thing that hopefully people are looking for and searching for, which is the truth.
Mm-hmm.
And they can find it hopefully on EWTN. And what's good is because mm-hmm. with our Faith Factory programs and the other programs we have, there's a panoply of opportunities for people, whether you want to see Bob and Penny Lord shows from the old days, or you want to deal with Father Spitzer talking about, you know, the mm-hmm. God and universe kind of a thing, or you want Saints and Scoundrels, which is another program Mike Masney has worked on in Chesterton
yeah.
Station,
mm-hmm.
where you're getting really discussions of an intellectual level, but where you're pitting, you know, basically great saints against a lot of the idea of that was really to show a lot of these philosophers, people have their little, you know, little
yes.
one line about God is dead or whatever,
uh-huh.
don't realize what kind of nuts and losers most of these people really were in their lives,
yeah.
You know, committing suicide or the horrible lives they actually had. And just to be able to show that
mm-hmm.
rather than getting the this kind of, you know, 5 second and, oh, isn't that cool? That's a cool way to think.
Yes.
And it's like, well, you should look at how this person lived out their life. I mean, you've worked in the media
mm-hmm.
and stuff. But I used to say to people when I worked in cable, I said, well, if you met the people who were running the networks, you wouldn't be surprised as to why why what's on TV is on TV.
Yeah.
Is that your experience?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I used to be, when I first started out, was a news editor.
Mm-hmm.
And I would come home and Rob would be like, oh, did you see that story? And I said, yes, and I watched the whole thing, you know, and it was kind of like that part that they used was, you know, part of the story, but not the whole story. You're limited in the amount of time
sure,
that
right.
you can give to something.
Right.
So it's nice to have a place, EWTN, that provides community
mm-hmm.
and you know it's a trustworthy source. And also like the, you were mentioning so many different shows that you have that you can learn the faith while also like laughing at something.
Right, right.
You know, there's so many things to learn about Catholicism. And I think it's just wonderful to find that community at EWTN. And there's really something for everyone.
Right. And also, you talk about production values, you know, the Cure of Ours show that we just did, the one on the Franciscan Saints. We built relationships with a lot of producers around the globe. We have some wonderful reenactments mm-hmm. that have been added
yeah.
to productions to raise them up into what we used to call like an old History Channel, the way it used to be before Jeff's was, you know, Frozen Road Truckers or something, or whatever it's supposed to be, because everybody's out. Why are they changing? They're chasing the dollar.
Yeah, absolutely.
And that's what's really important is that, you know, you want to go to the History Channel, you want to get some history, you would think. So you want to, when you come to EWTN, you want to make sure that this is Catholicism, straight up. Talk to me and that I understand what they're saying. And that's why we have the news operation and Raymond, obviously, with World Over, and of course, News Nightly, et cetera, our pro-life weekly shows, the CNA Wire, et cetera. It really is designed to make sure that people have an understanding that even though, as Catholics, we're called to live in the regular world, we're not called to live in some little cocoon, but the point being is that we always have a place, a touchstone, to go back to. And understand, you know.
Great way to put it.
Right. You know, I was talking about when I was a kid, you know, I was old enough to remember those days when they had they rated movies Condemned, B, A, 1, 2, 3, 4. And one of the ones that was like A4 or something, and it was acceptable for adults with reservations. So I used to think that meant if you already bought your tickets before you realized what the rating was,
then you
was
were good with it.
It was okay to go.
But
it really was about the idea that you were—they were assuming you were an educated Catholic enough in your faith that you could see something like this without having it affect how you viewed your life and stuff like that. And I think that's what we're trying to get, so that not so that people don't deal with the world, but they deal with it from a perspective under understanding. Yeah, I understand that. That's kind of funny, but that's really not, you know, I'm not going to change my lifestyle because I laughed at a joke.
There is a topic I wanted to bring up that that I've been thinking about a lot. You know, aside from being a Catholic and a father and a husband, I did a lot of acting in my days, whether it was stand-up comedy, improv comedy, commercial acting. I had an agent one time before COVID. And I also work at a school. I'm an adjunct professor at a community college. So I see, what I'm getting to is I see the slow infiltration of AI and in everything.
Well, and the Holy Father does too.
Yes, he does. And he brought that up. And I know that there are a lot of good uses for AI. I mean, it can be used in many aspects that are wonderful, especially if you are like, I know history teachers love it. They can have a conversation with somebody from the past by helping AI use that to speak in the voice of Abraham Lincoln. That's amazing. But also as an actor, I know how easy it is to just create a person who's in a show, or I know how easy it is to just write a script using AI. Or just write a theme song.
College students are found that.
Write a theme song to something using AI, and it will come up with music. And that's the it's trepidation, you know, that I feel, because you having everything created for you.
Well, then we become intellectually and creatively lazy. So, the thing I always worry about the most with it is news and things like that, because basically, you can watch any video and, you know, they can have things, and they've had videos with the Pope, and it's not really the Pope doing
It's not the Pope.
You know, they have other things where all of a sudden they can take anybody and put them in any situation. I mean, and you say with AI and stuff like that, mimic a voice.
And I'm sure you could say a prompt, come up with a short video of a bald guy wearing his Hawaiian shirt talking about the Catholic faith. It may come up with something very similar to what we already have. So we have to make sure that we are keeping that human element.
You know, and I think that is what the Holy Father's concern about that is that, you know, we are getting concerned. It's like I recently read an article, we used it on Father Spitzer's show for today, where they have the seminarians basically no phones. Get rid of the iPhones, you know, at least in at Mount St. Mary's they're doing it anyway, at least to get to, not to ultimately take them away from them, but for them to learn to A, deal without them, and then understand how they work. Because one of the things that people don't always realize is the chemical dopamine hits that people are getting from these things. Mm-hmm. And trust me, the people who can figure out how to design AI can figure out how to keep you interested and keep you watching, because that's what it's all about. Mm-hmm. They have to figure out, how can I keep you on this screen? Because that's how I make my money.
Yeah.
Because I'm data mining you all the time, mm-hmm. and I can sell your data. And the more I can show that people are spending time on my site, mm-hmm. the more money I get paid.
And so that's an important future for this use, this technology, because it's not going away.
Right. Oh, it's not at all.
And it can help us. I'm sure of it. I'm not quite sure how, but it can help us.
Right.
But as an actor, as a writer, mm-hmm. as a person who is involved in production, you know, I it's a fear, you know.
Well, I think you've seen that probably with some of the people in more of the mainstream media at times, where, you know, somebody might have been asked to do a commercial and they decided not to do it, and then suddenly they found, you know, somebody who sort of looked like them,
yes,
or
right.
their voiceover sound very similar to them, kind of a thing. And so, and if you can do, like they say, create a movie and say, let's have Humphrey Bogart and James Cagney and whoever. Mm-hmm. And here's this movie now being created with these people without quite their rights being infringed upon, in a sense, or their family's rights being infringed upon. But it is always the way that all these technological things, you know, there's the good side of it, you know, whether it was the internet or television or anything else. We can use it for good, and that's what we have to do the best we can. Mm-hmm. But we have to make sure people are aware that not everything they're mm-hmm. involved with is good, and that sometimes you can be led astray.
And that's why I was excited. We're here this week, and just today I was in the green room, and I saw some actors coming in for, I'm not sure why they're here, but they're part of the streaming show, mm-hmm. James the Less.
Right.
And they're actors from all over the country.
Right.
Coming and that were cast for this show.
And that's Mike Masney and Steve Beaumont who came up. And the idea of that was to follow up on a kind of the short form serial that would be, you know, 3 to 4 or 5 minutes, something you could watch quick, but yet had a cliffhanger and led you on. And and they created the first series, and it was very, very popular. I mean, we got contacted by the Catholic Church of Vietnam, wanted to translate it into Vietnamese, several others, really. I mean, talk about something that we kind of did on a, well, let's give it a shot.
Yeah.
Let's see how this works. And it took off. And so you never know. I mean, the thing I always find with God is the thing you think, we're going to do this, and boy, we're going to show everybody.
Right. Wow.
And then it's like, did anybody watch it? Eh, not really. but, well, you know, I really like that bald-headed guy on the kids show. I really thought he was funny.
He was funny.
And you're like, oh, okay.
So, or I mean the penguin. That's who I mean.
Yeah,
it's funny.
Yeah. You never know who the well, you're really the Batman on that show, so don't worry about
Thank you.
He can be the penguin, you can be Batman.
If he gets a plush toy.
And how many of those shirts do you actually have?
I have this one. Okay. This is the one that I take home.
Okay.
That I clean myself.
Now, have you changed your shirts over the years?
I don't.
Or are they all the same shirt?
Don't worry about that, you know. Just cuz there's going to be some question about my personal hygiene and things like that, you know. But they do, there's a selection of them that are tucked away somewhere that they bring out. I don't know where they got them, but I don't think they're made anymore. They're antiques at this point. But this is the one.
Your cruise wear there.
Yeah, it is. But if there's ever, like, my kids, you know, elementary school, high school, if there's ever, like, Hawaiian day at school. No, don't touch Dad's Hawaiian shirt. No.
So let me ask you, brought it up before, and we were both talking about education, and obviously you being at a community college, and so you're dealing with different levels. So when you go from a Catholic school, obviously, to a community college, it's not Catholic.
Yeah.
What's the differences you see in young people's attitudes?
Well, I think that I taught collegiately before I was in high school. And collegiately, you know, if you are coming into class and you are not paying attention and you're not turning your homework in and you're not coming to class, hey man, you're wasting your money. I'm teaching the content.
No, you know? I understand.
I'm teaching the content. And I'm the professor of the class, and sorry about your luck. At the high school level, especially at a Catholic school, it is my duty.
Much more nurturing.
To find out
right, okay.
why you're not turning your work in. And I can talk about Catholic social teaching. I can talk about the theological virtues, the cardinal virtues that I can use then to help a child to flourish. So I'm teaching the child, then the content. You know, I'm establishing that relationship
right.
first
right.
at a high school level.
Okay.
And I think today, there, to me, there seems to be a resurgence in, like, children and young people who are taking ownership of their faith.
Okay, right.
Not just because their parents are Catholic. Not just because they go to Catholic
school. Lisa, why do you think that is?
I think it's because they're looking for the truth.
Yes.
Okay.
They see through all the crap that they're being given. Working with middle school kids, like, they need to know that you care about them.
Right.
And that you're genuine, that they can rely on you. They can trust you. You're not going to let them down.
Right.
They're not going to accept discipline from you until you've proven that they matter to you. That, you know, the teacher is really taking an interest in them and their situation. There was a big change after COVID. There was a lot of kids that were addicted to screens and stuff like that. And so there's a little bit of that still kind of recovering from that, where they just want to be given the answer. You know, when kids, and our kids too, it was a very anxiety-filled time. It was hard to concentrate on homework and things like that. And so kids are just kind of getting back into that. They want that face-to-face interaction. I don't know.
You said something too. I think kids are much smarter and more savvy than we adults give them credit for. Teens.
Yeah.
You know, adults can fall for the algorithm. Adults can fall for a scam email. They're not sure how to read a text. They don't know, oh, I shouldn't have used all caps, whatever.
Right, right.
But teens, they see it all.
Right.
They see that's just a facade. That's just service. That's just a video. It's just entertainment to them.
Right, right.
And they want something more substantial.
Right.
You know, and when it comes to relationships and God, give me something more substantial.
Well, your programs are going to be on, as they have been on our EW10 On Demand platform, and this is your final season here. So when you're wrapping up, so what's next for you? You know, I mean, you're just going to continue on with any, you have any other ideas of something that you're working on?
Well, we would love to pitch some ideas to you and your team, you know, because that idea of being part of the streaming platform, you
know? Okay, yeah,
that's
absolutely. Yeah, there's lots of opportunity, obviously, because of the nature of the streaming platform, production-wise and things like that can be done for low cost and can be done remotely. Because of the technology, which also saves a lot of wear and tear and cost on things like that. And of course, I'm semi-retired, so I give you my heartily endorsement, you know, like Art Linkletter used to do.
But strings to pull, do you?
But you got to talk to Peter Gagnon and that team if you want to get onto that platform.
Until that happens, there are a lot of opportunities we need to take within our, because we have now there'll be one child at home, basically. All the older ones are either graduated, gone on to their jobs. Our child number five, Leah, she's on the show. She's going to be gone to college. We'll have one elementary school with us, an elementary school child. So there'll be other opportunities for us to do things in our parish. With teen ministry, our child's going to be heading into high school. So we always look for those opportunities.
And just as our kids get older, like, their needs are different. And it is really fascinating to see how different all of our kids have been and their faith journeys, you know, sometimes really questioning, maybe turning your back for a little while, and just, so to be able to reach maybe a target audience that's a little bit older, that, like you were saying, a lot of young people are coming to the faith or getting just inspired by that.
Right.
There have been a couple of classmates of our kids that were not Catholic but going to Catholic schools and then decided that they wanted to, you know, go through OCIA and figure out what is it about this.
Right.
You know, there's something attractive to it.
Yeah, a lot of young women to religious vocations, especially, they talk about now.
Yeah.
Today, absolutely. Well, we don't want you to roam too far.
Okay.
We want to keep the show on EWTN till an exercises, till our Lord comes back.
But
we're certainly open to any great ideas you have. Thank you so much, Lisa, and your wonderful family. And Rob, it's always great to see you.
Thank you.
To keep us entertained over the years. And we want to thank you for joining us here on EWTN Live, sans the one and only Father Mitch. I can tell you he'll be back. So join us next week. Thanks.